The sharp contrast has been very clearly expressed in a fairly recent resolution which has been voted by a Congress of the Fourth International, resolution saying, and I quote, "Stalin destroyed the proletarian democracy prevailing in the years of Lenin and Trotsky." The whole picture, and I would rather use the word fresco to give the impression, to give the idea of the dimension of Deutsch's description of the Russian Revolution, the whole picture, accurate, precise, I would say scientific picture which Deutsch gave of Russia under Lenin runs counter this simplification, which was not, of course, exempt, deprived of any truth, but which was exactly a very a simplification. What Deutsch showed with such an authority and an accuracy was that the conditions which prevailed in Russia, not in 1924 or not later, but already in 1920 and 1921, the conditions which prevailed in Russia at that time left very little room for the democratic ideals of men like Lenin and like Trotsky. That after the Civil War, with its terrible human and material damages, with the effect that the Russian working class was, to quote the very words of Isaac Deutscher, atomized by the economic disaster of the Civil War, in a context where one could almost say not only that the vanguard of the working class, but the very working class itself had diminished and had been dispersed by the effects of the Civil War, that in such surroundings a Soviet democracy of the kind which had been created by October, that such a Soviet democracy had become impossible. In other words, that it is too simple, much too simple, to speak of Lenin's democracy and to oppose Lenin's democracy to Stalin's killing, suppression of that democracy. A second point on which Deutsch dissociated himself from the very simplified interpretation of the Russian history in the 20s was about the fight for Lenin's heritage. Here, it's too often accepted, or it was too often accepted, that the main cause for Trotsky's defeat and of the main cause for Stalin's triumph was the sheer savagery, the sheer wickedness of Stalin, the sheer brutality of his method, and only the terror which he used so abundantly against his enemies. Of course, this is part of the truth, but only part of the truth. What Deutsch showed was that the tactical errors, the tactical mistakes which Trotsky made in the 20s were also of great importance, and of which one can give, I think, two important examples. First, the fact that Trotsky didn't use the weapon he had in hands, namely, the political weapon he had in hands, namely, Lenin's testament, anti-Stalin's testament, and secondly, the refusal of Trotsky to draw an alliance with the right communists, the right wing of the Communist Party, Bukharin and his friends. Deutsche goes even so far as to say that because of these mistakes, Trotsky committed, and I quote his words, committed political suicide. But even those mistakes are of secondary importance, those technical mistakes are of secondary importance as compared to the main issue, the main cause, which according to Deutsche explains Stalin's triumph in the 20s and in the 30s. And this main cause is the state, the economic, social, political conditions of which I said a word a minute ago. In an isolated state like Russia, like Soviet Russia, in a country so badly prepared for the huge tasks of socialist edification, in a country where so many conditions were the conditions of a very backward society, and given that isolation, of which of course Stalin was not quite irresponsible, given these conditions, the ideals of proletarian democracy inside the party and inside Soviet society, these ideals, which were an important part in the program of the left opposition, these ideals were bound to be defeated. It goes without saying that Deutsche never gave up his deep and so justified admiration for a man like Trotsky. Nobody better than Deutsche understood and explained and described the greatness, the political, moral, and intellectual greatness of a man like Trotsky. But when this is said, it remains. And here one must pay one eulogy more to Deutsche's objectivity, to his extraordinary power to control his own feelings and to appear as the historian, the rational and lucid historian. When this is said, one must stress the words which have been used by Deutsche to describe Trotsky's fight in the years 20s, when Deutsche said that Trotsky was a fighter against his time. Being a fighter against his time, his defeat was not only the result of Stalin's real, of course, wickedness. It was not only the result of Trotsky's real mistakes, it was mainly the result of the conditions prevailing in Russia and in Europe in the 20s. And the third point, which I want to make very briefly, the third difference and even the agreement which occurred between Deutsch's account of Russia's evolution and some Marxist socialist serious critics of Russia, of Soviet Russia, is that the whole interpretation Deutsch gave of the nature of Stalinism and the whole interpretation he gave on very broad and general terms on the nature of Soviet Russia ran counter cliches, counter very easy formulas and even slogans and admitted ideas. And here too, Deutsche, who was such an admirer of Trotsky, didn't fail and didn't hesitate to criticize Trotsky on a point where Trotsky's ideas seemed to Deutsche rather weak. I quote Deutsche when he said, and when he wrote the following sentences. When Trotsky wrote that the film of the revolution was running backwards under the influence of Stalin, he meant that it was moving towards planned economy, industrial expansion, and mass education. And these, despite all bureaucratic distortion and debasement, Trotsky himself recognized to be essential prerequisites for socialism. In other words, that the picture of Stalinism as being a regime which was killing democracy, which was the very negation of Soviet, of socialist values, and of Soviet and socialist political and social structures, that this picture is true, but was only a part of the truth. And that side by side with these mistakes and defaults and crimes, there was the economic achievements of a society which had abolished capitalism and of which the leading bureaucracy refused to restore capitalism. And here again, this very balanced view, the so objective view, gave rise to discussion, sometimes to criticism, of which one example was given by the American Trotskyist J.P. Cannon when he said that Deutsche was a Bernstein of Trotskyism. Whatever one may think of the whole picture and the whole interpretation Deutsche gave on the evolution and on the future of Russia, and perhaps one could say that this picture and this interpretation was in some way optimistic, even in those aspects, in those parts of Deutsche's work where discussion is possible, it remains a fact which has all the strength, the might of an undisputable fact, that, that among all the historians, among all the observers, friendly, less friendly, hostile, critical, among all the observers of Soviet Russia, that only there's one who's outstanding for the coherence, the depth of his vision of the whole history of Soviet Russia. And that man is obviously Isaac Deutsche. I want to conclude by quoting the final words of Engels in his introduction to Marx's class war, a civil war in France. Engels wrote, and I quote, "The social democratic Philistine has once more been filled with wholesome terror at the words dictatorship of the proletariat." Well and good, gentlemen. Do you want to know what this dictatorship looks like? Look at the Paris Commune. That was the dictatorship of the proletariat. One can use the very same words Engels used and say, the Philistine has been filled with wholesome contempt at the words of scientific socialism. Well and good, ladies and gentlemen. Do you want to know what the scientific socialism looks like? Do you want to know what Marxism looks like? Look at Isaac Deutsch's work. That was scientific socialism. That was living Marxism.